Blog Talk Radio.
On a Friday night here with nothing to lose. Yes, we got nothing to lose here tonight. And, we got a really cool featured guest here from Los Angeles, California. And We're going to bring him up here real soon here, and he's got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. He has a lot going on here. You know, his name is, oh gosh, what's his name? Sonny. Yeah. I mean, yeah, how cool is that? Sonny? Yes. Girondo? Or Girondo? Yep, I'm sure I'm butchering his last name, but Girondo? Yeah. Yeah, Sonny Girondo. And, and you know, on top of that, you know, I'm going to bring on my my co-host here, Mr. Michael D. Gosinski, and Big Daddy, and, special guest co-host here, my neighbor, who has been going on with all kinds of stuff here with cages and shit in his yard trying to catch raccoons. So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a scary thing. But, yeah, anyhow, so, yeah, let's first of all bring on my co-host here. Michael, are you there, buddy?
What up?
Hey, man, what's up?
We got a raccoon hunter. That's
raccoon. Like, we got raccoon hunters right next door. And, we're going to bring him on here, Mr. Raccoon Hunter. And, it's kind of crazy. And it's funny, and it's been entertaining, actually. Sonny tonight, I mean, yeah, our featured guest, he has a lot going on here. He has a book coming out, Punk Hostage Press and everything else. It's going to be fun and cool, and we'll bring him on here, like, really, really soon. And so what the heck's been going on with you, man?
Oh, man, same old shit, nothing new. It's been pretty dull out here in the post. So
dull in the post? Oh, come on.
There's dull.
That area? Come on. You got all kinds of...
No livestock disappearing, no raccoon hunting, nothing.
Livestock disappearing. Hearing, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right. So, man, beyond that, I mean, what else? Wait, where's Brian? Brian, where are you, man?
He's always got some shit going on.
Hello, Brian?
What up, man? I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
All right. Got a little worried there. So what's going on? What's going on there? Brian, hey, yeah. All right. Yeah, quickly, before being on Raccoon Hunter here, my next-door neighbor. Hello, Brian?
Hello?
Oh, okay.
The show's breaking up.
Oh, well, we hear you. A-okay,
yeah.
Man. Okay,
yeah,
we hear
perfect.
You. Yeah, we hear you fine. Do you not hear us? Brian?
Might have lost him.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't hear us. Okay. Well, we'll bring on Brian Big Daddy back here when he can hear us. So otherwise, yeah, things here, I mean, I don't know. Things have been kind of crazy here in OHIO, and Michael, I mean, what's going on? Something going on with the, like, you know, Jesus Christ, like, fucking,
yeah,
wife or something?
Yeah, apparently Jesus had a wife.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, you know, that's, I don't know, they found some lost gospel scroll or some shit.
Uh-huh.
And scientists did some tests on it and proved that it's, like, old, you know. It's not a fake. some of the periods, something, I don't know. It's just, so I think that kind of destroys a lot of Christian theories right there. Jesus had a wife, and, you know, maybe priests will be able to get married or something sometime soon. Be able to take their hands off of the boys, I don't know.
Oh, I mean, have you ever seen, like, the film Jesus Christ Superstar or the musical, you know, Jesus Christ Superstar? Have you ever seen it live on stage? Mary, you know, Mary, she is one hot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you not? Huh?
No, I've never seen it.
You've never seen it? Okay.
No, I've avoided it. I mean, right in the title, Jesus Christ Superstar, I'm like, yeah, pass on that one.
Okay, all right. So, okay, well, now, you know, that's funny. We you know, this is a great subject here. We bring up, you know, Jesus Christ and, you know, his alleged wife or whore or whatever you want to call her. And you know, there's been films made about her and all kinds of literature. What do you think? I mean, come on, Michael. What do you mean, come on? What? No.
Come on, man. You know, a guy has needs. A guy has needs. You know, you gotta tell me.
Even if he is a carpenter with, you know, like long hair. And
yeah, exactly. Man, he was. Yeah, exactly. He was a hippie socialist. That's what he was.
Right. Okay, all right. I get it. Hey, Brian.
Really, a guy has needs, man, you know. He was,
well,
lived into his 30s.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, he was. He wasn't that old, was he? You know, I mean.
Yeah, he lived into his 30s.
I mean, literally, Jesus Christ. I mean, he just, yeah. Christ.
I mean, you know, I don't think, you know, I'm not saying he was having like orgies and shit like that. You know,
oh, you're not saying that, but you're implying.
No, scat parties. You know, I don't think, you know, do any of that. But having,
you know,
a wife, maybe a, you know, rim job here and there, maybe, I don't know.
But you have to admit, I mean, the fucker was ripped. I mean, from all the pictures and paintings I've seen, Jesus Christ has, like, some major fucking, like, you know, abs and, you know, goddamn, he's ripped.
Oh, man, have you ever seen the Mormon? Have you ever seen the Mormon Jesus? He's, like, the most ripped of them all. he's also the whitest one, too, has the whitest complexion.
No, I've not seen the Mormon Jesus. God damn it.
Oh, man.
Wow. I mean, what? Blasphemy. I just said, God damn it.
Yeah, you know.
Regarding.
I'm sure. I'm going to burn for this one, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you are. I already am burning.
You know, well, fortunately, no one in my family ever listens to this show. But, of course, this would be the first one they would, you know.
Yeah, that's the way.
I'm in a weird predicament now, you know, because my family is starting to get Facebooks, like my uncles and my aunts. They're starting to get Facebooks, and so they post all this inspirational crap. They post like Dr. Phil sayings and fucking, you know, this preacher Joel Osteen dude and so you know, it's just nightmare. So,
okay. All right.
Can you deny your family? Can you unfriend a family member? Is that legit or?
I don't unfriend anybody unless they, you know, I mean, I've never done that. You know, that's just, I've never done that unless it was someone who was a total asshole trying to just belittle me and my family. So usually that's not a family member. So
Yeah, well.
Hey, Brian, I think we lost Brian again.
Okay. I mean, Brian? Is he having technical difficulties? Because I hear you just fine.
Brian, are you there? Well, you know what? I'm going to bring on my neighbor here. Because,
and the raccoon.
Yes. This has been an ongoing thing here. They have had cages, everything else, just crazy shit. So I'm going to bring on my neighbor here. So I'm going to bring him on, and we're going to talk about, this whole, like, fiasco he has going on. I mean, he has raccoons, like, infesting his attic and everything else. So, it's bad. But, you know, I have gone over and I have been, like, some sort of, like, Robin Hood asshole and freed, like, squirrels and shit from the little they have going on there. And, all right. Here we go. We're going to bring him on. My next-door neighbor with the raccoon infestation. Here it comes.
Can you hear me?
Oh,
hello,
I can hear you.
Hey, I just want to say first and foremost, I never knew Mary messed around like that. And if your co-host needs livestock moving off wherever he's at, I got cages. So I'm down. We can have this up.
Keep that in mind.
We can put them in cages. Yeah, we can just take them places.
Keep that in mind.
But what's your co-host's name? My name, we'll go with PT. That's a nickname. But what's your co-host's name?
My name is Mike.
Well,
Michael.
And Brian Big Daddy Sturtevant. We keep losing him for some reason.
Yeah,
he's
having technical difficulties, but I'm a little distraught because I never knew Mary got around like that.
Well,
so I'm a little taken back, and I'm a little distraught, and I'm like crying. I damn near shed a tear in my beard, but I'm here, and I'm actually staring at the cage right now, and I'm patrolling the perimeters of the house, and we get it on my phone.
You're literally, I had to, like, shut the window because.
I don't mess around. I'm in full camo. I got a light on my head and everything.
Outside of my.
I got flashlights. I got the full perimeter set up. So if you got livestock problems, let me know. We got cages.
I had to. This guy. You know, my next door neighbor who traps raccoons.
It's all new to me. I had to outsource it. I had to talk to somebody in India. Somebody in India, and they pointed me in the right direction here in the States. But in India, they know what's going on in the States. I don't even know if they have raccoons. If they do, they might eat them. I don't know. I don't know. But they pointed me in the right direction. But they did not tell me that Mary messed around.
All right,
so I'm still a little distraught.
So you got like this tape of like, hello, we are much a trapper. Your
If you speak English, press 1. Raccoon in attic, press 2. I had to go through all that. three days later, I trapped a raccoon. It's exciting. So now, I take a beer, and I just wait. I wait many seconds. Any second, it's... It can happen.
Right.
I'm coming back in the house. Nothing yet. I'll keep you posted.
All right. Well, yeah. You know, what sucks is...
Are those humane traps?
I see you outside my window. And I had
to close
the window. No
whisker chains. Hey, no whisker chains. Nothing like Mary was into. It's strictly humane.
Well, I mean, how do these traps work? I mean, do they, like...
You
know, crush
you
skulls
tell me.
Or what?
No. See, you tell me, because between my neighbor and myself, we couldn't figure it out. So he saved the rat, or saved the squirrel, and he sent me back 3 days. And I think he's been going out midnight snacking in my trap and taking all my sweets. I told him this earlier. I put out pastries, and I think Brian gets hungry at like midnight. He's like, oh, what's in the trap? Oh, donut holes. What do we got tonight? Oh, we got honey buns. And I think he's going out there, and he's taking my treats because 3 days in a row, no treats, no animal. I think there's something going on. I think there's something going on.
Yeah.
I need to find out what Brian, if he doesn't like sardines or something, I need to start going with sardines, and I might get this raccoon.
No. You know, I'm all about honey buns and, you know, sweet shit like that.
Right.
I
and there's like trails.
Yeah, I think you
trails of wrappers. Trails of wrappers across his driveway. I mean, I should be able to put two and two together, but I don't know. I don't know.
Okay,
it's
well,
crazy.
Okay. So this whole infestation, I mean, it started at some point. What, you guys
about
heard
2 weeks
in the
ago.
Attic? Huh?
Yeah,
two weeks ago. Yeah.
3 weeks ago. We'll go 3 weeks. Whatever.
All right, three weeks. That works for me. All right.
That's so better. If that works for you, it works for me.
Whatever.
We can say 3 days. It's irrelevant.
Right.
Yeah, but we'll go with it.
All right. And you know, and what, you know, from there, I mean, how did the whole, like, thing, like, all right, wow, something's wrong. We hear creepy noises in our attic or something, you know? Did you think of a ghost? Do you believe in ghosts? Or do you, like, this is
I've
a fucking
seen
raccoon,
ghosts,
man.
I've seen ghosts. That's a whole different realm.
That's a whole different realm.
Ghosts. But now I know that the Mother Mary was a whore, and now I'm going to be distraught, and I probably have to go back to church and repent tomorrow. But being raised as Catholic, so you just shot down my whole religion. So not to cry myself to sleep tonight. And if you want to talk about ghosts or raccoons or whatever, but, I mean, where are we going with this? Because, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what it even means anymore. You guys are just I think I've been lied to from childhood. I don't even know. I'm about to figure this all out. We're just going to have to get a whole other phone call. Yeah. So, but where
right,
do
so
we
you,
go with this? Ghosts? Are we talking
well,
ghosts?
No,
talking
where do I want to go with it? I mean, it's just like, you know, I mean, I just wanted
well,
to.
Yeah, I heard noises. And
let everybody,
I mean,
you know,
yeah.
know that, you know, this has been a very, like, intriguing thing for me to see this weird cage thing. Next
right,
door to me.
Right.
And, you know, and setting, you know, animals free at times and running away like a little pussy. And, oh, man, I wanted to set that raccoon, you know, free.
But even to hear the word pussy now, all I can think about is Mother Mary. You've really ruined me in your first 10 minutes of your segment. You've ruined me.
I don't know.
I thought she was a virgin.
I can't even see. Are you outside still?
No, I went back in the house. I had to get another beer.
Okay, good. I was just flipping you a bird. Okay. That's great.
Am I allowed to say that? I mean, yeah.
You started it. I don't know.
You
want. Oh, okay. All right.
You know.
Well,
that's well, your case. I don't know. Maybe I'm an atheist now. I don't know.
See, you're going to be the fun. This is going to be a new fun segment here on Nothing to Lose is funny neighbor interactions. Kind of like, you know, oh, I don't know, what's that show where, you know, the guy used to peek over the fence and shit, stuff like that. Yeah, I think we're going to have on funny neighbor.
I think Brian is setting my animals free, and I'm never going to get rid of my raccoons. I think he's setting them free and building ladders for him. And while I'm at work, he's just building the stairway to heaven. And he's like, no, Mary was a whore. You can go back up into heaven. I'm just going to free you. And, yeah, so now they're living in my attic. And I think he just, like, going to different neighborhoods and trapping animals and bringing them to my house and, like, be free and putting them in my attic. I think
exactly,
that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
eating my pastries.
Yeah, that's all I do is set animals free and watch online porn.
Let's not forget about my pastries.
Pastries. Okay. All right. Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah. The honey buns. All right.
Right.
All right, man. All right.
Hey, what's going on with you right now? Or can you, like, hang out and be, like, special guest host for the rest of the night? Or?
Oh, I'm good. I'm here.
You're good?
You
all
lost.
Right. You're fucking
yeah, I'm good.
All right.
I got a full keg. And what's your co-host drinking? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh,
the one that I'm all distraught over this Mary thing. But what's your co-host that ruined my childhood hopes and dreams and just made me realize that I've been lied to since birth? What was your co-host name?
Jack Crispy.
Miley Cyrus?
Jack Crispy.
Are you speaking Swahili right now? I don't understand. Did I press 2 for Brazilian or Italian or what are we speaking here? Did I hit the wrong button?
Not Brazilian.
I make this shit up as I go along. You don't eat dogs, do you? Because I have a dog.
Not
in my attic.
I know, I have a dog too. No, I don't eat dogs.
What about raccoons, dude? I can hook you up. I'll sell you like $3 a pound.
Oh,
you know, those are good pelts. We could use the pelts for something.
You can make a hat or something.
Yeah, make a quilt. We can make a raccoon
quilt. A little quilt. You could cover up your Barbie doll or something. It'd be a little quilt.
Barbie doll. I don't want to cover the Barbie doll.
Yeah, you don't want to cover them up. No, that's not how Mary would have done it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Mary.
I can't get off that, dude. I'm seriously traumatized from that.
Oh,
I probably think.
Mary, use some Hail Marys after all this.
Yeah, I'm going to take 3 showers when I get off the phone.
You have to go to confession and, you know.
Yeah,
absolutely, yes. All right. Well, hey guys. All right. You know, we're gonna do.
Right.
You know, speaking of Mary and everything else, we're going to just gonna do a little bit of Pup the Magic Dragon here.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, a little bit of Pup the Magic Dragon.
All new to me. You're gonna fill me in.
you'll get it. You'll get it. Pup the Magic Dragon. I mean, take it.
I'm afraid I might have already got it.
All right,
is that contagious? Is that contagious?
It is. And then we're going to bring on our special our guest for the night here, Sunny. And we'll move on from there.
The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Pup and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Pup the magic dragon by the sea and frolic in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Pup the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolic in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sails. Jackie kept a lookout perched on Pup's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whenever they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Pup roared out his name. Oh, Pup the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Pup the magic dragon myth in a land called Anali. A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Faber came no more. And what that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. Without his lifelong friend, Puff could not be brave. So Puff, that mighty dragon, sadly slipped into his cave. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
Yes. I think we all puffed the magic dragon in one way or another.
But yeah.
Are we back on?
So, you know, yeah, we're back on. And did you puff the magic dragon?
I'm outside puffing the magic dragon, and I try to piss the perimeter around the house, and I think I need about 13 more beers, and I'm going to get all the way around my property. I'm not
okay.
Giving up, dude. I'm not giving up.
You know, no, you don't give up. And, wow, you know. Just
that's a lesson for the children. You never give up. Persistence beats resistance.
Exactly.
And don't worry about Mary. Don't worry about Mary. Don't let it traumatize you like it traumatized me. That's my life lesson for the night. So I want the kids to take something away from this show, since you got the special guest, your neighbor. I'm just trying to set an example. Set an example.
You know,
it's going to take 20.
The fact you are my neighbor makes it even cooler. You
it's
know,
gonna take 26
the fact
beers
you're
to piss
like right outside my window right now, puffing
no,
your
I'm going back
dragon?
Inside. I'm in your driveway right now, but I'm going back in the house. I'm not imposing on your property. I'm going back inside. I'm out of your driveway. I'm off your property. You don't have to call the wall. I didn't pee on your driveway. I saved it for my lawn.
Wait a second. Do 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 911,
what's your emergency?
I got this
asshole pissing in my driveway again.
I'm going to pump the magic dragon in my driveway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was happening. It was happening. I'm glad you looked at your window.
I know you are. I had to close it just so I didn't get the reverb.
Right. Right. Yeah. You don't want to get the splash to the screen. Yeah, it's a nice night, but when it's not raining, that's not rain.
All right.
I hope it's a raccoon to turn, is all I'm saying.
Oh, raccoon turds. Hmm? You know about that.
The turn.
You just trap them, you just run away because they just, like, run around in your
you
head.
You set them free. You set them free and eat their sweets. We've already discussed this.
Weird. Yeah, they have like little masks. It looks like that little mask on their faces. Okay. All right. So we're going to bring on our featured guest here, Sonny Giordano. And I'm pretty sure I'm butchering his name. But yeah, he has a lot going on here. He has a book coming out by a Punk Hostage Press. And, you know, he was just had a recent interview on P. Pigpen. And, yeah, I think this guy, and not only that, and he has a lot of other things going on, too. I mean, just the fact, and he, you know, he's a well-dressed guy. I mean, he wears a tie and shit. And, you know, the whole, you know, Sonny Giordano, you know, persona. I mean, he's got that bad boy thing going. So we're going to bring him on and hear what he has to talk about here, because I'm pretty pretty damn sure he's going to have some fun stuff to talk about. All right, so here we go. We're going to bring on Sonny right now.
Hello there.
Sonny, are you there?
Hello. How's it going, everybody?
Hey, what's up, Sonny?
What's up, gentlemen?
Good to have you on, man.
Yeah,
wow.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. we didn't make you go through the whole, like, Pledge of Allegiance.
Which
we normally do. You should. We should make you do the Pledge of Allegiance. Hey, Sonny, do you mind doing the Pledge of Allegiance real quick?
The actual Pledge of Allegiance from, like, grade school?
Yeah. Here we go. Here we go, Sonny.
Let's see. I don't know how much of it I remember.
Yeah, well, no. It's going to happen right now. Just take off your hat, put your hand on your heart, and we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, okay? Just like from grade school, and then we're going to go forward from there. And, you talk about all this cool stuff you have coming up here, man. And I know you have a lot of cool stuff. Here we go. Pledge of Allegiance.
All right. Yeah, I'm blanking on the words.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ouch. Wow.
Wow, that's pretty intense. That's the most patriotic I've felt in years.
In your voice. I like the voice, dude. That was amazing.
The voice. I mean, yeah, exactly.
Very
authoritative. Right. It was. I mean, who would you imagine that voice being? I mean,
no,
probably a raccoon.
Fan is what I pictured, right? That's what I want you to think.
I picture an evil raccoon. In my attic.
An evil raccoon in your attic, huh?
That's definitely
that's
some spooky imagery there.
Yeah.
Wearing like a red, white, and blue top hat.
Yeah, ready to tear out my drug dealer in my sleep.
Yeah, they will do that, I've heard.
Yeah. And did you hear that Mary was a whore?
I heard that.
Yeah.
Speculation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you as distraught as I am over this?
I don't know. I don't really, I can't say that I take anything at face value.
Yeah, well, so it's all speculation at this point?
Yeah, well, I mean, pretty much everything is, isn't it?
Right, you got to take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't know, especially where it comes to religion and books written thousands of years ago. I don't know how good my guesses are with shit like that.
So what are you, mid, late 30s, 40s? Because I'm to the point in my life where if I don't... Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. I'm 28 years old, but I don't know.
28 years old. I'm to the point in my life where if I don't see it with my own eyes, I don't believe it.
Yeah, that's a good place to get to.
Right.
Wow, absolutely. That's pretty much,
well,
that's pretty much how I operate. Yeah,
well, God bless you, or Mary bless you, or raccoon, whatever you believe in. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, any of them. I'll take all the blessings I can get.
Oh, right. And it's sunny, right, in L.A.?
Yeah, Sunny Giordano, that's me.
Is it sunny in L.A.?
It's not right now. It's dark outside.
What are you
it's a little warm for the nighttime. Well, yeah, summer's
warm
here already.
What's your warmth in the nighttime? 70th?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
We haven't seen that in weeks.
That sounds nice to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had a winter yet this year, so.
That's all we've had this year.
Yeah, I'll trade you.
You'd rather have negative what we have. What do we have, Brian? You are... Right across the driveway, I can mark on your window. What have we had? Negative 20, negative 30, negative 40?
Am I going to have to, like, open up the window and flip you off again?
Please do, because I got my junk pressed against my sliding glass door right now.
Hey.
Your balls. All right.
You guys ought to start videotaping this podcast. You got that kind of stuff going on.
Oh, I told you. Do you have a webcam? Because it's about to get real.
There you go.
We're going to have to YouTube that stuff. So anyhow, hey, Sonny, yeah, man, thanks so much for being on. And, you know, good to be on here. Yeah, hey, yeah.
Thanks for having me.
You're 28. You're a youngster. Definitely a youngster, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's relative.
But, yeah. You have a lot going on, man. You know, you've got the,
Just about to get my first book out with Punk Hostage.
Punk Hostage,
Iris Berry and A Razor over there were good enough to give me my first shot at that, you know.
Right.
Young as I may be, I think I packed enough... I packed enough insane shit into the first few years that it ought to make a pretty good book.
Yeah,
cool.
And you know, Punk Hostage Press. I mean, it's pretty impressive. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. In like scene and all that. And you know, how did you get involved with them?
It was a buddy of mine, a guy I've known for about 6 or 7 years, a real good friend of mine, was doing IT and computer work for them. And when we were hanging out, you know, he noticed that I was always writing, carrying around a journal. In fact, when we first met, I was writing the journal that became the book that's about to come out. He went to Iris and Razor, and he told them, you know, I got a buddy who writes, and they asked him some more questions, and he said it was like Hemingway on speed. That was the pitch he used to get me lunch with Iris.
Yeah. Hemingway on speed, huh?
Yeah, that's what he compared my writing to. I don't know if that's a little grandiose, but I'll take the comparison.
That begs the next question is. What was some of your early inspiration as far as, you know, literature, writing, or art, or, you know, anything in that, you know, regarding that?
Well, I mean, my very early initial introduction to poetry was sort of song lyrics, you know. My dad would play Elvis Costello songs, and, you know, I could listen to that kind of stuff, and I started to recognize the structure, you know, the way that stuff was put together. It wasn't just words over music, but it was, you know, they were actually, you know, I mean, that song lyrics have always been, you know, at least the good ones kind of, you know, resemble poetry in a lot of ways. It was a few years later that I was maybe 12 or 13, the first time I heard a Leonard Cohen song. I hadn't heard words put together that beautifully in all my life, so. I started digging up his poetry and listening to his back catalog of music. And, I mean, that's, you know, he's probably one of my favorite people to read. I don't know that I could ever claim to be, you know, maybe influenced. I think it's kind of hard to be, you can be inspired by Leonard Cohen, but I don't necessarily know that you can really reach that pantheon. You know, that level seems to be, at least in my mind, sort of reserved for him. But that's, you know, always been a guy I've admired in the field. You know, I read Bukowski as a kid, and then I decided that I would try to drink professionally. You know,
drink professionally.
You know, that was.
You're my hero, man. You're my hero.
Yeah.
Sonny, not to steal the show, and Brian, I'm sorry, I'm just a neighbor across the street, and I don't even belong here, other than I'm in the neighborhood. But when you write, and I haven't read your book, and I don't know much about you or much about anything other than my raccoon in my cage, but are you writing about real-life shit, or, what inspires you?
Yeah. This first one is a memoir. I've actually got deleted chunks of it up at my website right now. You know, I know this is the first time that we're meeting, but as an artist, I would highly recommend myself. You can check out the website and read. Yeah, it's a memoir right now, this first thing. It was.
Do you want to plug that? Where can people check that out at?
Yeah, it's at sunnygiordano.com. If you go, if they're on the Nothing to Lose website right now, you guys got my name spelled correctly up there, so just put .com at the end, sunnygiordano.com, and it's all free stuff to read. I got about 3 or 4 big chunks of writing I actually pulled out of the book because they were written sort of after the fact, and I wanted to keep the journal I wrote intact and present that as sort of the primary piece. And so it's really, I really wrote the book 6 years ago, and pretty much a completely different person wrote the book, but it's still my life, you know. So,
but yeah, real life shit, make believe. Yeah, real life shit, no make believe. Yeah.
Yeah, I do a lot of fiction stuff, but this first one is, I was completely insane when I wrote the fucking thing, so I don't know how much of it actually happened or how much of it's real, but it was real to me at the time.
Right.
You know, I was just coming off a 8-year whiskey bender in my early 20s, so I don't know that my sanity was exactly intact, but, you know, it's the actual journals, unfixed. You know, all I did was go through them and change the names. I didn't take out any of the embarrassing shit. I left it all exactly as it was written and pieced it together chronologically into a book.
So while we're putting stuff out there, what's your choice? I'm sorry to steal. I'm not trying to steal the show, but what's your whiskey of choice?
My favorite whiskey to drink was Wild Turkey, but I usually could only afford Jim Beam.
There you go.
So I drank a lot of Jim Beam and Diet Coke, and
My neighbor Brian's the first person I ever met vodka and Diet Coke. What is the Diet Coke thing? What am I missing? And
yeah,
can it get rid of raccoons?
It was easier to drink Jim Beam in the coffee shops when I had it in a Diet Coke can, so I just started mixing.
Right. But can it kill a raccoon?
I don't know. It might. If you get them drunk enough, they might accidentally kill themselves. I know. I got pretty close a couple of times.
After what I heard about Mary with his co-host, I'm about to go in the shower and kill myself. But
wait, no.
Well,
then you can
meet them and you can ask them the truth, right? Isn't that how it works?
Right. Maybe the raccoon can tell me the truth. I think only the raccoon knows the truth.
That
yeah.
may be possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Yeah.
All right, dear neighbor, are you going to mow my lawn? Like,
no, but thanks for asking. I mean,
okay, you're getting all echoey. All right, dear neighbor, are you approaching your toilet?
No, I just walked up to the keg and poured myself a beer. I'm sitting back down on the couch.
All
better?
Right, there we go.
There you go.
So, and I get criticized for, you know, drinking, you know, vodka and Diet Coke. All right.
It's the Diet Coke, I think, or the Diet Pepsi. Yeah, you need to just stick to the straight Beam or beer or whatever. Don't mix the Diet Coke with it. Unless you're trying to kill a raccoon. Seriously, unless you're trying to kill a raccoon, just leave that out of there.
Straight's good, but it's much easier to walk around in society if you got it disguised. At least that's what I found. It's always
in
easier.
In the bottle? So you just pour it straight in the Diet Coke bottle or Diet Pepsi bottle and just walk around drinking?
Yeah. I mean, I mixed it plenty of times as well. I mean, I spent, you know, I don't know.
That's
I wasn't,
brilliant.
I like drinking, but I've never really been a picky person.
Those are called poetry grenades, guys. Okay?
But that's brilliant. But for me, in the Diet Pepsi bottle or Diet Coke bottle, if I'm walking around with a Bud Light, it just looks fishy.
Yeah, I can see that.
Maybe ginger ale.
Yeah, ginger ale you can get away with.
Ginger ale.
I think so. Yeah. Got a little bit more of the correct hue to it.
Right. Or apple juice.
Yeah, not what that's in the disguise.
Okay,
these are life lessons. I need to start writing this stuff down. Like, you guys are, like, really helping me out.
Yeah. I mean, I can give you a lot of tips on how to drink real bad. I don't know getting away with it.
right. Right.
I wouldn't take advice on drinking from me, you know. You gotta read the book to find out where it took me, but it wasn't any place good.
Right. Yeah. Oh, right. And that's me. Like, and is there going to come a point in your life when you're ready to give it all up? And that's where I'm at. Like, really, is it worth giving it all up? And for what? To save a raccoon's life? That's where my neighbor's at.
Yeah, I'm the pussy who, like, comes over and rescues, like, fucking squirrels and shit.
I think he's eating my sweets and rescuing my animals. We're having a problem over here.
You know what? Fuck it. I just eat your honey buns.
Yeah. He does. Midnight. I wake up three
at
nights
midnight,
this week.
Yeah, I sneak out and I eat and lick your honey buns.
Yeah. Three nights this week, all my baits gone, no animal.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But Brian's 10 pounds heavier. No, I'm kidding.
It's all in my breath.
Right.
Have you not noticed? I've like gone up like a cup size.
I noticed you're wearing your Daisy Dukes now.
Oh, my Daisy Dukes! You watch me when I mow the lawn with my Daisy Dukes, do you?
Well,
right,
I got the binoculars in the side bedroom. Yeah, I watch you like a hawk.
All right.
Does that go on in L.A.?
So yeah, yeah.
Not too much. Neighbors? Not from what I've seen.
You got any crazy neighbors in L.A.?
No, neighbors keep to themselves. Yeah, we all live in apartments and shit out here, so.
Yeah, here in Ohio, we only wish they did, don't we, Brian?
I used to live in California, so I used to be one of those San Francisco ass whites, but anyhow. All right, so Sonny, come on, man, I want to hear more about. This book you have coming out, you know, with Punkasi Express, and I want to hear more about, you know, your creative like side, you know, as far as like, you know, doing layout, being an editor, and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that was one of the cool things, you know, when my buddy made the Hemingway on Speed pitch, it got me lunch with Iris at Cantor's out in L.A.
Uh-huh.
here, and. You know, we met and we had lunch, and I had done a couple of years on college newspapers on the journalism, you know, journalism classes, and I placed honorable mention, second place, and some music reviews and some shit like that. But I had I'd gotten a reputation for being the only reporter that the editors didn't actually have to edit. Usually, when I would hand in my assignments, they would just put them straight into the layout. And so that was kind of that got me published about three or four times an issue because my work didn't require any cleaning up. You know, I was nitpicky enough to get that all done myself. You know, I don't like typos. Although there is a typo posted in that Pigpen review that I sent over. I was trying to finish it at 2 a.m. and I missed some shit. But you know, so I told Iris that, you know, I was pretty familiar with that kind of stuff, and I was willing to help out because it really is, you know, so much of the grunt work. It's not the easiest thing in the world to run a small press, you know, and Iris and Razor, out of love, you know, they took on way more than the lion's share of what that means, and you know, it was a really cool thing to be able to get to know them and get to work with them. You know, not only is it it's a hell of a lot of good experience, but it's an honor to work beside them and getting to share some of that. You know, taking somebody else's book and helping it reach a stage where it's ready to be published is that's a really cool thing to be able to do, you know. Getting helping somebody else's dream come true, you know, is you know, it's really, really cool. And so I get to play around with some editing and then proofreading, and you know, I've gotten to some layout stuff for some poetry books. You know, you don't always want to have them left aligned, just straight down the page. You know, sometimes you want to make the words flow a different way. And there's a lot of the real simple technical shit that goes into it that's just not not every writer, you know, has the time or the experience to be able to format margins correctly for printing and all that kind of boring
right.
stuff. You know, Iris and Razor were doing that all by themselves, you know, so I was lucky enough for them to take me under their wing, and I got to help with the technical side of it, you know, so it's not just that I'm writing books, but I'm getting them, you know, helping them put out other people's books and getting to getting to kind of see the other side of that, you know.
Right, and that's cool that you mentioned that. I mean, what do you prefer? Like, I mean, what do you feel like you like better? If you had to, like, I mean, just as far as, like, being a writer or just creative and all that, or being more the, you know, on the editor side, I mean, which do you feel, like, more, I don't know. Because I'm an editor, and I'm a writer, too, and I'm an artist
yeah.
and stuff like that. So
that was a good question.
What do you feel like?
Well, I mean, for me,
like,
it's
uh-huh.
when it's my own work, it's kind of like, it's kind of a one and the same type of thing. You know, I like to, I have a very, I don't usually do second drafts of the shit that I write.
Right.
I usually clean it up all in real time in one thing. So for myself, when it's my own output, I try to take a lot of care to make it one seamless process. You know, I kind of liked, It was kind of a good feeling for my ego when the guys running the journalism class told me, well, we never have to edit you, we never have to check your work. You know, I kind of liked that. So that was kind of a habit that I continued to develop.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, there's a lot to be said for the reaction that somebody has when they send you a manuscript and you send them back a book that's ready to actually be printed.
Uh-huh.
That's a really rewarding feeling, but I mean, I enjoy spending a lot of time on the technical side of things. I do enjoy editing. You know, I have
mm-hmm.
I have a whole lot of fun doing cover design and cover layout and some graphic design stuff. I really
okay.
love that.
So,
I mean,
as far
me,
as like
writing,
cover design, yeah.
I've gotten to take
layout.
A couple stabs. You know, we haven't. I got to finalize a cover. It was another great artist photograph, but I got to get trained a little bit on Photoshop on how to format shit into book covers. So I mean, it's
uh-huh.
I enjoy the process of seeing all 360 degrees of what it takes to make a book. You know,
right.
So for me, the creative part of it is what that's the shit I think about all day and all night. You know, I don't daydream about book editing, you know what I mean? But I am scribbling a notebook on my phone.
Who does? Right,
you know,
right.
It's,
good point. Who does?
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. You know, I mean, I enjoy it. But for me, the writing has always been the thing
right.
I can't get away from. You know, it's always there. It's always in my head. So that's
right.
That's my favorite part of it.
Again, not to steal the show, but, man, Sonny, I got a question for you,
yeah.
And I'm just the neighbor, but what's your inspiration?
Just the neighbor. This is great. Okay, go ahead.
My inspiration is really the life, the shit that happens around me, you know? I like to
Real
watch
life.
People. I like to understand and question, you know, well, you know, why did I or why did they make this kind of choice?
Right.
Or what is it that really
right.
drives us, you know what I mean? So I like
right.
to... I like to observe. I like to get my hands dirty every now and then. But yeah,
right,
yeah, kind of
elaborate
you know.
On yeah, everyday experiences and just life in general.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest inspiration is just trying to pay attention to the world around me or the life that I lead. You know, I just with the fiction stuff that I write, that can usually be, you know, I mean that can be something as man, wouldn't it be weird if this happened? And then you write about that. For the
right.
poetry and shit like that, it's. You try to inhabit a headspace that isn't yours, or you try to fully inhabit your own headspace enough to observe and report
understand
on the
somebody
condition.
Else's. Right, right.
Yeah.
Nice. And, dude, I'm just a neighbor, and I don't even belong here, but man,
no,
I like it.
No,
and
you
just...
do belong here. You are officially one of our co-hosts.
Yeah, dude, I like it. I like it. And Sonny, dude, I love you, brother,
this
man.
Is,
God bless you. The raccoon bless
you're...
you. But...
Raccoon,
dude.
Raccoon neighbor is official. I mean, you're.
Yeah. Oh no, but I love it. And
I'm
so,
digging it.
No,
I love it.
You're
an asshole
for this, man. Yeah, this is. This
oh
is
no,
great.
I'm just listening
great.
To you, Sonny, and man, it's just what I would want to ask you. I don't know you. I've never met you.
All right.
You're
no,
out in
and,
L.A.
And your questions are spot on, man. Awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Good stuff, man. I'm
yeah,
digging it.
Yeah. Raccoon neighbor is the new official co-host here at
Okay, well then, here we go. You heard it here first.
Here we go,
yeah.
It's going to get me in trouble, I'm sure. We're both
no, we're good. We're good.
Crazy.
I just went upstairs.
No, we're both crazy, so.
No, you don't want me to get too real on your show, but I just went upstairs. I thought my wife's sick as shit. I thought she was puking on the toilet. I went upstairs and checked on her. It's my niece in the bathroom, and I'm like barging in the bathroom, and I'm like, "No, you good?" She's like 10 years old. She's like, "I'm good." I'm like, "Well, I thought you were your aunt." And I'm like, "Are you good? You good?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm good." I'm like, "All right, I'm going back downstairs." So that just happened. That's what's going on at Brian's
right.
neighbor's
yeah.
house.
Yeah, here, yeah. I'm just drinking booze out of the. Out of a coffee cup right now. Okay, so, and I had to close the window because I heard the reverb from you standing right outside of my.
I'm going back outside now because I'm a.
Well,
it's
I
about to puff the magic dragon.
Yeah,
I'm about to
puff the magic dragon, and it's too cold outside. Yes,
it is. Not in L.A. though, isn't that right, Sonny?
Yeah.
Not in L.A.
No.
Not in L.A. Absolutely not.
No, it don't get cold out here.
Yeah. Like right now, it's probably like, what, 50, 60?
I hear his ass right outside right now.
Sonny, yeah, here I am, Brian.
I'm going to flip
him
the bird.
Sonny being a parka. You being a parka. There he is. Dude, I got three brothers in San Diego right now. And yeah, 60 degrees, you're in a parka.
Oh, jeez. And I just flipped him the bird. You know.
I'm gonna put my dog against his window. Where's your webcam? But yeah, fuck.
Oh shit. Okay.
Sonny, I wish you nothing but the best, man. I'm like, dude, it sounds great. And like, you're writing books, and man, I mean, it sounds good. And like, I've always thought about writing a book, and here I am, just a neighbor, and I'm trapping raccoons. But I've always thought about writing a book, and it's just life's lessons, dude. And life itself can hand you a book, and it takes a special someone to put it on paper and to make it happen.
Yeah, we all have stories
to
tell, man. You know, that's what it is.
I mean that. You know what I mean? It takes a special person to be able to put it down on a pad of paper and make it work.
Well, thank you.
And I commend you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
I understand you've been working on some screenplays, too. Is that correct? I mean, you're collaborating with the other writers for screenplays?
Yeah, I actually have a couple of writing partners. You know, when I was 18 years old, I took a couple bottles of whiskey and an old typewriter, and I banged out a script for a noir comic book that's still floating around my apartment. So scripts are a little different than what I typically write, but I got some. You know, there's several of them in varying stages of development. I think. Probably the next immediate thing, is getting this book out, and then probably a collection of the poetry, maybe some of the greatest hits from the website, and some of the older shit, some of the booze-soaked stuff from when I was younger, and putting out a poetry book, I think will probably be the next thing. But for right now, it's just getting the final copy of
Now you planning? So are you going to do like a book tour? Or are you going to go around and do readings and signings for this book?
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm planning on. You know, I know that Punk Hostage Press actually has. Let me get the date here. It's June 29th at Beyond Baroque in Venice, out here in California.
Oh, wow!
And and we're all gonna be doing a reading, and that'll be that's actually the first thing I've got booked, and that should be just a few weeks after the book comes out. So that'll probably be the start, and then just get.
Do you have a release date? Do you have a release date for your book?
Not yet. I'm shooting for the beginning of June. I'm thinking because there's a few other things that Punk Hostage is going to put out.
Just to put out there for the people so they know and they can look for your stuff and
it. I'm eyeing the beginning of June, and you can always get more information on my Facebook page, Sonny Giordano, or the Punk Hostage Facebook page. If you find Punk Hostage on Facebook, there's access to a ton of good shit there. Iris and Razor have books, and there's a whole lot of really great writers that we've put out.
Sonny DiGiorno, DiGiorno like DiGiorno Pizza.
Sonny Giordano.
SonnyGiordano.com.
People to follow you and just find the stuff when it comes out, and to follow you and be able to read the words that you speak and just to read the life story and just to follow up on what they're hearing tonight and just to grab your stuff and just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Put it out there. A release date, a roundabout, just look for it, here it comes, and here's where it's going to be at, and here's where you find it type. This is me, and read my stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to be updating the website tonight, actually, but it's my name. It's Sonny Giordano, SonnyGiordano.com. If you Google my name and you spell it at least half correct, I'm the first 50 search results, so it shouldn't be that hard to find me.
Nice.
But yeah, and then you can always check out Punk Hostage on Facebook. That's a real good way to find us, just because there's not too many Punk Hostages and Sonny Giordano's on Facebook. So if anybody listening is on there, you know, you'll be able to pull up the resources. And I put poetry and shit up on that site at least 3 or 4 times a month. There'll
just
be more
get your name out there and people can follow you. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Sonny Giordano on Facebook or SonnyGiordano.com. You ought to be able to find it there.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's just the website primarily poetry.
All right, Sonny. All right.
Yeah.
You know, the whole, like, you know, Thai thing and everything, and, you know, the whole, like, you know, the wise guy look and all that. What inspired that? You definitely have some sort of persona going on there with that.
Yeah, well, I think that was more of an accident from watching old movies when I was growing up. You know, all my heroes were very well dressed, you know. So
all your heroes were well dressed, huh?
So you weren't into
these half naked, like, you know, Conan the Barbarian or, you know, Rambo or anything like that, huh?
Yeah, no, it was all Humphrey Bogart and Paul Newman and James Dean, you know. Those guys were bad motherfuckers. And
I said you look like a young Andrew Dice Clay or something.
I can get down with that. He's a snappy dresser, too.
Oh,
a little more flair.
Yeah, I
can
see that. Yeah, a young Andrew Dice Clay. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, I mean, that was just the guys I watched, you know. I mean, Leonard Cohen's 84 years old, and every date on every tour, he still is wearing a three-piece suit and a fedora, you know. So
nice.
Really?
Right.
Leonard Cohen really still does? Really? I've never seen Leonard Cohen live.
Yeah, I saw him last year, and, you know, the dude's old, but he was wearing a three-piece suit and a fedora and matching, you know, and it's just the guys I looked up to, you know, we're always really, really well dressed, so that's all that came from was I just, you know, I wanted
Sonny,
to be that kind of asshole. Yeah.
Hey, Sonny, you got to look good to feel good.
Exactly. It certainly helps, man. You know what I mean? You put on a tie, it's hard to let the bastards get you down, you know?
Right. You got to look good to feel good.
That certainly
helps. And, you know, okay, all right, so you're Leonard Cohen. Has been an inspiration for you as far as, you know,
poetry and all that, you know, that's a musician. And, you know, I have also been inspired by Leonard Cohen and Tom Waits and all that.
Yeah.
Are there any other musicians or whatnot that have inspired you? Or filmmakers or whatnot?
Yeah, well, I grew up paying a lot of close attention to just art and the way art was made, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's always, if you look, you know, everybody's, if they're in the public eye, it means they're doing something right, you know. And even if you may not necessarily understand what they're doing, it's kind of a fun game to play to look out for what are they doing right, you know. What's the lesson I could learn here, the technique I could pick up, you know. So I... Like I said, you know, it's maybe the same thing as my inspiration is the world around me. Maybe that's the same for my influences, you know, is just paying attention or at least doing my best to try, you know.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, you know, there's no accounting for taste, you know, and you can always sort of, everybody likes what they like, and it's the trick is to know why and then kind of,
mm-hmm.
kind of let your thoughts get shaped around that, you know what I mean? I have my favorite bands that I listen to and my favorite authors that I read and
right.
you know, and you're always hearing that stuff, you're always getting exposed to it. Like I said, I grew up reading Leonard Cohen and Bukowski and James Ellroy and, you know.
Right. James Ellroy. Oh boy,
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you're kind of into the whole, like, noir or whatnot, or, you know, that.
Yeah, it was a big thing for me when I was a kid, and it was, it was, when I was younger, those were the kind of movies that I liked, that was the stuff I watched a lot, but by the time I was a teenager, and, I mean, I sort of stopped really being interested in anything except drinking, so I didn't really, I wasn't really keeping up with music. I was just trying to find better ways to get wasted and other places to hide. You know, and I was about 10 or 16 when my cousin gave me a copy of The Black Dahlia by James Ellroy. And it had been fucking years since I sat down and read a book. And so I grabbed that and I sat down and I read it, and I remembered everything that I loved about reading and writing. And so after that, I mean, I read everything he put out in the next,
really?
You know, two or three years after that. And, yeah, because it just sort of, it reminded me of what I was doing before I started trying to kill myself.
Whoa, okay, here we go. That's a whole,
yeah, whoa,
that's
yeah,
another
yeah.
subject.
Was,
here we go. Yeah,
I mean,
that's,
back,
you know.
Yeah,
we'll
bring
okay.
out of that.
Yeah, you know, by the time I was 16, I figured that I wasn't really very good at life, but I liked drinking. And it was bad for you, so I figured I could drink enough to die by the time I was 22. You know, I just I got the timelines wrong. I wound up 24 and not dead, and it turned out it was time for me to get my shit together.
So are you talking literally or verbally?
I was trying to drink
pretty,
and drug myself to death.
Very literal right here, right now. Okay.
Well, you could
think
of verbally or literally. Like, either you want people to just stop listening to you because they can't understand or grasp what you're saying, or two, because you've always had your voice out there and that's what I respect about you, and not knowing you, I'm just a neighbor across the street catching a raccoon. But I'm saying respectively as a man and an older man than you, and I'm just saying I respect you for what you're doing, but I'm just saying literally or verbally. Like, do you literally want to kill yourself or verbally just like, I don't give a shit what people think, I'm going to put my shit out there and people are listening, that's what I respect, that you've done your thing and people are listening. So literally or verbally?
Yeah, well, I don't want to kill myself anymore. I'm just, this is, you know, that was really my past. That was really my line of thinking. You know, nowadays, you know, it's been a little while since I've gotten drunk or I've gotten high, you know, and all that shit is sort of behind me. It's what makes up the book, you know what I mean? I have, I've got no desire to be dead now, you know, but when I was a teenager, when I was a kid, you know, that was a very real part of my life, you know. I mean, I spent...
What made you who you are today?
Yeah. I was lucky enough to survive it. And
right.
now that I'm on the other side of it, you know, it's definitely a formative part of me. I think I don't necessarily have the desire to hide any of the cards that I'm holding. I've never really bothered to pull any punches or tell I try to tell the best version of the truth I can muster. You know, I've never had a problem. I've never had a problem airing my dirty laundry. You know what I mean? Because none of it shames
right.
me. You know. So
right.
I was diagnosed with clinical depression when I was 14, and you know, therapists off and on since I was 5. You know, by the time I was 16.
We sound like we have a lot of life, and I was never diagnosed, but I'm not going to get too far into your personal life, but I'm just saying, you come from a split family, like, do you have a rough life? I mean,
my parents didn't divorce until I was about 14, and, you know, that was a good excuse for me to act the way I'd always wanted to. You know, I was, you know, I was always kind of a wild, angry kid after a certain point in my life.
Mine started at 1, so I totally understand.
Yeah. I was about 5 years old when I started dealing with some shit.
Right.
An aunt,
right. You don't have to get thorough. Right.
Yeah, but I had a lot of anger, a lot of fear, and drinking, and you know,
right.
the parents getting divorced. These were all perfectly good excuses for me to do what I wanted to anyways, but I didn't really have the
right.
presence of mind to understand that there is no such thing as a valid excuse, and blaming other people is pointless.
Well, everyone else turns a blind eye. Been there, done that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they can come up against you and fight, but until you really understand that that it is nobody else's fault necessarily, that, you know, life can hold tragic moments, and the inability
right.
to deal with them was me.
Patience,
you know,
and perseverance, which I have neither of, like, yeah, but no, that's what builds your character and builds who you
yeah.
are, and, like, the fact that you're putting your word out there and people are hearing it is, I mean, it's commendable, and, like, I'm just
yeah,
a mere machinist, and I'm catching raccoons in a trap, and here I am, I shouldn't even be on this show, but no, I give you that much respect, and, I mean, me being older, but no, as a younger person, I cannot do anything but commend you and just give you, you know, I mean, all the praise. Like, dude, just keep doing what you're doing. You got a good head on your shoulders. I don't know you, but just from talking to you for 20 minutes, I'm just saying, you keep being you, and I mean, it sounds like you've got the world on your shoulders and just run with it. Pick it up and run with it.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
thank you.
I agree.
I'm definitely going to give it my best.
Raccoon neighbor.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I'm going to lift Sonny up, and if I can't lift him up and run with him, I'm going to build a cage and put him in it.
Hey,
we're going to keep him here in Ohio.
You know what? Raccoon neighbor guy, if you catch me in the cage, just slap me on the ass.
Give you a donut. Give you a pastry.
Set me free.
No, I'm going to give you a pastry, and I already know. I'm going to give you a bowl full of vodka and diet.
There you go.
And I'll keep you here for days.
That's all
wow,
I really
okay.
need.
Only
like
if you come, only if you come, like, mow my lawn. All right.
Oh, shit.
Thank God you live in an apartment, Sonny.
What's that?
I said, thank God you live in an apartment, huh?
Yeah, it's nice. Nice and quiet.
Hey, in San Diego, how far are you from, you're in L.A., right? Are you in L.A.?
I'm about a half hour north of L.A., so San Diego's a two-hour drive, off the way I drive.
Oh, San Diego.
Sum it up in three words. What would you say about L.A.? Three words.
Too fucking crowded.
Well put. I like it. Well put. Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to experience life as best I can in small bursts.
Right.
I prefer a lot of quiet time, a lot of time to sit and read and write. You know, I go out and get myself in trouble whenever I can, but you know, I mean,
right.
I definitely handle myself in crowds. You know, I learned early how to take control of a room, but man, fucking traffic and too much noise. You know, That shit wears me down real quick. I get my energy depleted fast when I'm in big cities for too long.
Right. Are you born and raised there?
These are
questions that haven't even been touched. LA all your life.
Yeah.
Looks like we have another caller here, guys. Yeah, well, let's bring this caller on and see what they have to say here, all right?
All right.
All right. Hello, 626 area code, you are on live. Hello.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, what's
live
up?
Here.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you're on here live.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. Here to talk. Are you here to talk? Talk to our featured guest here, Sunny Giordano.
No, I wanted to talk to the neighbor about his raccoon. No, I'm just kidding. Yes.
Nice. Oh, yeah, of course you do. Who wouldn't? I love this girl. If I wasn't married, yeah, I love this girl. Of course you want to talk to me about my raccoon. Sonny who? Bryce, yeah. I mean, come on. Neighbor Brian? Oh, jeez. God love you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I wanted to talk or ask Sonny about, he said that he read Black Dahlia when he was about 15, and that kind of started him writing again. But I was wondering if there was a time when he was younger, because he said he wrote some poetry when he was about 13. But I was wondering if he had a favorite book as a child, or was he inspired when he was little by books that he had read or books that were read to him?
Good
question.
Yeah,
well, there was a lot of books. My mother and my grandmother both read to me a lot, you know. I know my mother, when I was about 10 years old, gave me a copy of the 70s children's book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Which I don't know if anybody's read that, but it's kind of I've got undertones of Christianity. It's a lot of hippie philosophy, but it was sort of my first brush with a spirituality that I could actually understand.
Oh, and, very cool.
And so that book I've reread probably half a dozen times. It's only only like an 80-page book, but that was a big book for me when I was a child.
Yeah. And your book that's coming out, your memoirs from rehab.
Yeah. Yeah.
How would that appeal to me? Say, I mean, would it help drug counselors? Alcohol and drug counselors to get inside your mind? Would it,
I do think that maybe that's one of my latent hopes about it. It is an unfiltered journal from the time that I was in rehab, so I think that perhaps it can offer a lot of insight into some of the thought processes, it's a very raw account of what that's like, at least in the mind, there's not really too many details about the ins and outs of, a hospital stay. It goes into that stuff, but it's primarily, my thoughts. It's essentially what, they tell you.
A real
journal.
Portrayal.
Yeah.
A real portrayal.
It's a very internal one,
Sonny,
also.
Hey,
yeah.
And Sonny, I'm nobody. I'm a raccoon trapper. But I'm saying right now is when you got to say, buy the book, read it, and find out for yourself.
Yeah, well, you do. You have to get on the Punk Hostage Press here in the next month or so and get I'm Sorry I Was Late, But I'm Here Now by Sonny Giordano.
Right. And then feel me, read me, live me, love me.
Yeah,
well, I'm
absolutely.
Glad you're there, and I look forward to reading it. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, hey. Any other questions?
Hey, Sonny, I haven't offended you in any way, have I?
No, sir.
I'm just trying to pump you up and feed you and pump it out there to the audience. Yeah.
Yeah,
dude,
I appreciate
just live
it,
it
man.
Love
yeah.
it. Read it. Yeah, live it, love it, read it. Sonny,
dude. I actually do have another question.
Oh, another question.
Oh, okay.
Did you bring any of your poems, and could you read one?
No. Well, that would be great. I would love to hear. Read something.
I'm down, Sonny. We're putting you on the spot. I'm down, Sonny.
Come on, Sonny.
I'm cool
yeah,
with
here
that,
we
man.
Go. On the spot.
Know, that's what I
Sonny,
do.
Come on. Read it.
Yeah,
I'm down.
I'm pull one up here.
All right.
Let's see what I got here.
Good call. Good caller. I love it.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and listen to it, okay?
Okay.
No, all right.
Stay on the line.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. Well, I got this one. This one I posted a couple days ago. There'll be some new stuff I'm putting on the website after this podcast. So sunnygiordano.com is where you can find this stuff. But this one's maybe it's about a month old. It's called "Do You Feel Death?" How many more times must I mourn my own passing? How much longer will my skin blister and my breath rattle in my chest? How many more days and nights will I writhe on my bed between the angel of death and the demon of lust? Is this my chance to kill the god of fear? Am I ready even now? Weak as I am, I have long asked for this chance, to kill this god of fear and be free of it all, for all and once. Is this what it feels like, victory? Is this God's blood in my mouth or my own? Are my nightmares premonitions? Am I shaking because it is right or because it is wrong? How many more mornings will I wake, mourning a day already lost before it was ever begun? The god of fear hovers over my sleeping body, heavier than ever before. It was he, the venomous bitch, who tattooed on my heart a headstone, a cock, an empty wallet, and an abandoned teddy bear. And now the nights grow longer, the sun burns all things. I plot my revenge as subtly as possible. I will use what parts of me are yet paralyzed to overthrow my captor. And when my life is drenched in the pink, black blood of the god of fear, it will be mine again. No, I could never do this alone. I never had to. Yes, this is what freedom feels like, but only at first. Only until I learn to believe will my pain go unrelieved. When the arms of God himself, the Lamb, and the merciless ghost all wrap around me, wringing the blood of fear from my flesh and draining it from my heart, then I may learn to walk and live and breathe again. Then the Lamb will look at me, stumbling like a foal, radiating and glowing and vibrating in a soul without fear. And he will say, I died for your sins, and you kept your fears from my Father. So this you have chosen, to die for freedom from the golden god of fear. To be rendered invincible, you had to die those 10,000 times. I will know it then, invincibility is not worth what you pay for it. But to be the man who beat fear to death with a golden cast statuette, well, I was always asking for that.
Wow.
Amazing.
End poem.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
Amazing. Amazing.
Edgar Allan Poe had nothing on you.
Sonny. Your word is out there. Sonny, preach that word, dude. Amazing.
I have a standard. I have a standard where it's like.
He just broke that standard. I've never been on this show, but you can't beat that.
Poem. End poem. Okay, I can. Yeah.
End fucking poem.
No, you can't fuck with Sonny right now, dude. That was amazing, Sonny.
I'm not.
That
I'm
that
not
was amazing.
With Sonny,
you
yeah,
have a wonderful
fuck
voice for radio, Sonny.
Oh, well, yeah. You're, yeah. What was your name? You're still on the phone, but no, you can't fuck with Sonny.
Judy Carr. No, I wouldn't.
You can't fuck with Sonny.
I like
you
that.
Can.
I'm going to make that the new tagline on my
okay.
Twitter.
Okay, I'm hanging up.
Hey,
guys.
We're going to make
good
t-shirts.
Night.
Hey, Sonny,
thank
I'm
you.
The son of LA.
Good luck.
You can't fuck
bye.
With Sonny.
Thank you. I like that.
You can't fuck
we
with Sonny.
We need to get
that's
t-shirts.
Probably going to be the title of the
we
next
need to get...
chat book. You know,
yeah. You should make that the title of your book. You should make
what's
that the title of your book.
Yeah, I like that. It's got a ring to it. Man.
You can't fuck with Sonny. No,
I
like
that.
That. Dude. Yeah. And I mean that in the utmost respect, dude. You can't
thank
fuck
you.
With Sonny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Man. Dude, that's as
yeah.
real as real gets. That's as real as real gets. And I've never heard, like, man, that's, man. And I'm just a raccoon catcher across the fucking driveway.
Yeah,
but
just
no,
the, yeah,
Sonny.
Just, yeah.
Well,
the raccoon
if you like
catcher
that, man,
across
like
the driveway.
You got good taste.
Dude, to open my eyes.
Yeah, it has good taste. You know,
my...
wait until I like start standing in the driveway
hey.
And shouting out poetry straight up.
I'm just saying.
Window.
To open my eyes to a guy like Sonny. Hey, Sonny. Sonny, raccoon bless you. God bless you. I'm just saying, man. Keep doing
okay.
You because, dude, you're doing it right.
He
no,
is.
Thank
he
you.
Is.
Thank
absolutely. Yes,
I
he is.
You hear me?
Absolutely.
You're doing it right.
Thank you.
He is.
Thank you
he's
very
doing
much.
It right.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
And everybody listening, get ready for his book. Listen to his words and just hear the man speak. No, I'm here to preach for you, dude. Yeah,
I appreciate
Sonny.
It. I might
look
exactly.
out for him. Here he comes. Look out for him. You said June, right? You said June, right?
Yeah. Should be out in June.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I was late, but I'm here now. Coming out from Funk Hostage Press.
Yeah, wait for him, watch for him, son.
I'll be here.
Coming up. Funk Hostage Press.
Press, they're doing it, man.
Yeah, that's right.
You got best shit happening over there. That's it, man. They do a hell of a lot of good stuff. You know, they're a nonprofit. They work with, they work with getting literature into places where it's not the most common thing. You know, prisons, jails, juvenile facilities, homeless, women's shelters, rehabs. You know, like the one that I was in. They do their damnedest to get to connect people in those places to writers, to books, and then, you know, in our case, to the writers that wrote the books, to sort of make, because it's something that a lot of us have in common over there is the struggle with, addiction or alcoholism or whatever it is, and mm-hmm. surviving it long enough to actually get to put your art together and put it out, you know. And so Funk Hostage is a big champion of that cause of, taking art to the broken places, you know. Art can always have a big impact on the right kind of people, you know. But if you take art to the people that are broken, or you take art to places where there isn't a shitload of hope, I think art can give birth to that, you know. And to watch a guy like Razor, to watch somebody like Iris, to watch them do what they do is always fucking inspiring, you know.
I've met them both.
Hey, Sonny.
In person, and beautiful people, and I highly respect what they have going on. And, and it's really cool that, you know, you are a part of that. And
I got one last question.
Yeah.
I got one last question for Sonny.
All right.
Yeah, I'm outside and there's no raccoons. And I know
listen.
Okay, well, the kids can be in bed. But, Sonny, I'm telling you right here. What would you tell kids? Because I'm a man that's been addicted to a lot of things, and we've all done our things, and we're all just, you know what I mean, we're thrown here, and we do what we do. But I'm saying, what would you tell kids? Because we're all addicted to something. I'm not even going to go there. But what would you tell a fucking, throw the fucking in there, and it makes it sound legit, but a 15-year-old kid listening to you right now, about to read your book, what would you tell a kid right now? Fuck the dumb shit. Here's what you do. Get off the shit and fucking just live life, okay? You know what I mean? Live life. Put your word out there like you're doing, and it's commendable. But what would you tell a kid, like, okay, I'm going through some rough shit, whatever, shit's fucked up. You say fuck a couple of times, and it becomes more important. So you say fuck three or four times. But I'm just saying, what would you tell a kid who's going through a fucked up life, going through some fucked up shit? And
that's a loaded question, man.
Well, I mean,
it is a loaded question.
Not everybody, you know, has kids, and, you know,
stay true to yourself, speak your word, and just live you. I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, it doesn't matter if you're a kid or if you have kids. The reality of life is that sometimes it's going to fucking hurt. Sometimes it's going to hurt real fucking bad. And, it's a better idea to deal with that pain in ways that don't kill you. Now, that's not always an option. It's not always the best idea, and I know for me, for a lot of years, the way I dealt with pain was to try to kill myself, to abuse shit that would kill me. But I can't highly recommend that. Although if that's something you need to do, by all means, if you've got to chase the darkness, if you've got to get the pain away, do it. You know, but it was a few years ago that I realized something I wish I'd known when I was a kid, but it wouldn't have made sense to me then. There's a guy who was alive, a great author named David Foster Wallace. He killed himself. Before he did, he gave a speech, and he talks about some pretty some pretty powerful shit in there. And one of the things that's always stuck with me after reading that speech was that he lays it out very simply that there is really no such thing as atheism. He says that everybody worships. Everybody worships something. Whether they worship sex or themselves or money, whatever it is, everybody worships something. And he doesn't tell you what to worship. He doesn't tell you what the right thing to worship is. He simply suggests that knowing that everyone worships, try to choose something to worship that won't end up killing you.
Right.
And I think maybe that's the best advice I've ever heard, you know, is life's going to suck sometimes and it's going to hurt. And try to get through it the best way that you can, but, you know, try to get through it. And I think that maybe that's when shit gets really dark, that's always an idea that we have, you know, is maybe I'd like to check out. I know that was my go-to all the time. Whenever shit got really bad, I thought I'd rather be dead. Until I got so close to death that I realized that it wasn't really what I wanted.
I'm going to get real with you for 30 seconds because I don't know what Brian is, Brian's show, but I'm going to get real with you for 30 seconds, and nobody knows me, and nobody knows me being I'm just a neighbor.
Listen,
30 seconds.
Let him know I'm giving you the finger right now.
He's out in the front yard. I'm standing in his driveway, okay, so he's giving me the finger. But I'm going to get real with you because it's getting deep. But real quick, I got a young nephew, 13 years old, and it's not going good for him, and he's talking the same shit, okay? Suicide.
Yeah.
And what do you tell a 13-year-old kid that life sucks, dude? And I got a child. He's about to be two. And I mean, a lot of us have children. What do you tell a child? Like, you know, life sucks, and I knew you just, he told me everything. But at 13 years old, and do we all have grown up in different fucked up pasts and different, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody's got a fucked up family. But what do you tell a 13-year-old kid? Like, look, man, I'm ready in it all. Life sucks.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
When you tell a 13-year-old kid who's grasping out, reaching out, has nowhere to grab, and we've all been there. What do you tell him? Like, okay, look, dude, hang on.
That's it, man. Life doesn't always suck. It sucks sometimes, but it doesn't always suck. And it's good sometimes, but it isn't always good. And I know that when I was that age, I lost sight of that shit real quick. When something got bad, I thought it was going to be bad forever. And
when did you start drinking? I got drunk for the first time at 12 years old.
Yeah, I started drinking when I was about 15 or 16. I started doing methamphetamine when I was about 18.
And you don't have to get that deep. You don't have to get that deep.
But that's
okay. You're real. You're real.
Yeah,
you're real.
That's what happened. Yeah.
And that's what I like about it. I've talked to you about for a fucking hour. I don't even know you. But, dude, I would drive to fucking L.A. and hang out with you tomorrow.
Hell, yeah. I'm into that, man. You got to tell them to hang on, man. That's sometimes the best advice. You know, it's perspective is a motherfucker.
Yeah, and it's a two-way street. And nowadays, kids, what do you think? Like, they don't know it? They don't learn it? We're trying to steer away from it?
Well, they've never questioned their own perspective. They see everything on the Internet and happening in real time, and there's no question.
Right.
Do I want to give up on life because shit's bad right now, or if I look at my life, has it actually been bad the entire time? You know, and I don't, you know, that's the reality.
We have nothing to gauge on, what, Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, when shit's
dark,
what
do we have to gauge
all you
on?
Think is dark,
right.
You know? I mean, if you stand in your bedroom with the lights on, you can look around and you see all your favorite shit. You see your favorite books, and you see your television, and you see your favorite pair of shoes. When you turn the light off, everything's dark. You know?
That's my neighbor. He's crazy. I think he's gonna raise my raccoon. But dude, you sound like a solid fella, dude. So I mean, you sound like a solid fella. I got three brothers in San Diego. If I ever make it to California, I'm looking you up.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man.
I'm serious.
Some more chain smoking, you can find me.
I'm serious. The heart attack.
There you go.
How far is LA from San Diego?
Oh, about 2 hours.
All right. Well, yeah, dude, I might look you up. And I wish you nothing but the best with your book, with everything, man. Keep preaching your word. And not even preaching, just keep putting your word out there and keep doing you. And, dude, you got nowhere to go but up.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I already been down. Up sounds like a good change of direction.
Right, and I got the host of the show, man. I'm just the neighbor, dude. I'm not even supposed to be on this show, but I'm telling you something,
just
man. Nowhere
neighbor,
to go without.
Just the neighbor is the new.
Nowhere
oh, yeah,
to go
yeah,
without,
yeah.
Sonny.
Nothing to lose.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah, okay, I just saw you out there smoking. All right.
But no, I'm boosting Sonny up, man, because there needs to be, like, fucking, probably, like, 10
yeah,
million
yeah,
more Sonny's,
dude. Yeah, you're in just as much trouble as me for being up so goddamn
late.
No,
but there needs to be, like, 10 million more Sonny's. Sonny, keep doing you. Seriously. There needs
to be
10
well,
million
yeah,
more
there needs
like
to be, like, 10 million more Sonny's. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
It needs to be Sonny.
That might
but
be
you know
a little
what?
Rough, man.
But yeah, yeah, but listen here. It's not going to be Sonny tomorrow when you... and I have to wake up tomorrow morning.
I don't worry about that. I'm just, right now,
you
I'm
worry about
preaching
that,
Sonny
huh?
and preaching Sonny's book. No, dude, I'm all about Sonny tonight. I'm on the radio
I appreciate
show.
It, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
you can head
dude,
over to sonnydeardano.com for more.
Yeah, see? It's all about Sonny tonight. I don't give a fuck about me. Me
all
and John
right,
are
right.
good.
There you go. There you go. It is. It's all about being Sonny tonight and, you know, fuck the sun in the
maybe
morning.
Maybe I'll get a raccoon, and maybe O'Brien will let it out in the morning, or eat his honey bunny, or
yeah,
even go to
his
cage.
Yeah, maybe I will fuck up with your little...
Yeah, but I'm just saying,
shit.
Sonny, what's your last name?
I'm just
my last name is Giordano.
Giordano.
There you go, Sonny. Giordano.
Just like the pizza.
Welcome
Giordano. I just
heard
you.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm that's saying.
That's
punk-house my
neighbor. Yeah,
you
guys can
you know, you
all
should
that.
Just, like, come hang out here in my kitchen with me, man.
Who, me or Sonny? It's going to take
no,
Sonny
you,
a little while to
you,
get here.
You.
Yeah.
All right,
I'm coming
like,
through
there,
your front
there.
Door. I'm coming through your front door. But now, Sonny, dude, you can come to Ohio. We need to hang out. Watch, I'm walking to my neighbor's house right now, on air. Here we go. I've never been to my neighbor's house. I'm walking through his fucking front door. Here we go. I'm going in, Sonny. I'm supposed to be quiet.
Okay, we're being quiet.
No, I'm telling you, Sonny. I'm telling you, Sonny. Keep doing you, because, dude, you're a powerful person. You're young enough. You're only 28, dude. And kids are gonna listen to you. You got a book out, you, dude. It's commendable shit.
I appreciate
and,
it, man.
Yeah, I mean, there needs to be 10 million more just like you.
I might be a double-edged
that's all
sword,
I can
man.
Say.
I'm kind of a motherfucker sometimes too.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, dude.
Well, I appreciate the sentiment, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm just saying, keep being you. Don't let anybody tear you down, because I've been tore down. It's time down, we all have. And I'm just saying, you do you, and then you got nowhere to go but up. And everybody
right.
knows now, and keep saying that one more time. How do people find you? How do people follow you?
Yeah.
They're going to
SonnyGiordano.com, Sonny Giordano on Facebook. You can always go to punkhostagepress.com or punkhostagepress on Facebook, and you can always get in touch with me there.
And you've got a book coming out, what, in June?
Yeah, a book coming out in June called I'm Sorry I Was Late, But I'm Here Now, and that's going to be on Punk Hostage Press.
See, there you
yeah.
go. Get it out there, Sonny.
Yeah, if anybody's listening from California, a bunch of the punk hostages are going to be at Beyond Baroque in Venice. On the 29th of June.
Beyond Baroque. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Beyond Baroque out there. And I know Punk Hostage is hoping to get involved in some other shit. The This Is Poetry thing. I know we're looking into a hopeful participation with This Is Poetry. And there's going to be a beast crawl in Oakland. You can always go to the Punk Hostage Press Facebook for more information about that kind of stuff. And there's going to be, I mean, there's a hell of a lot of good books coming out on Punk Hostage besides mine. You know, I know I've been working with Razor on a short
yeah,
story collection. Pretty badass, yeah. So that's going to be, I mean, all that stuff's upcoming on Punk Hostage. That Facebook page is like a one-stop shop for all the artists, writers, all the events. They update that thing all the time. It'll keep you right in the loop, you know.
Do you do, like, open mic or just strictly book, or do you, like, get out there and, like, speak your word to, like, people in the public, or?
I've been looking into doing some spoken word or some straight poetry readings. You know, right now I think the focus is probably going to be trying to read to promote the book. you know, but I am interested in getting some more poetry collected and start taking that out.
Just getting your voice out there.
So right now it'll be for right now it's on sonnygiordano.com, you know, and I'll be posting some new shit here in a minute on that website. So if anybody's listening and they want to hear more, sonnygiordano.com. And
love it, man. Love it. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey,
thank you
looks
much.
Like we have another caller here.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Hello, caller. You're on live.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello. 626 area code. You are on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I was just calling in, and I was wondering why kid maybe have something to offer to the world here. The hosts are getting drunk and asking them the same question 10 or 15 times. I mean, it's getting to the point to where you hillbillies are the reason why I left Pennsylvania and moved to California.
So you've actually been listening to the show.
Oh.
Hey, I'm just trying to catch raccoons. I'm a neighbor.
Point proven.
Yeah, okay. Well, God bless you, sir. Thank you for listening. I'm just a neighbor, dude. And I'm trying to support Sonny and all that he does, and you can't take away the fact that I might be a drunk hillbilly, but Sonny's still the real deal, and he's a stand-up American. So don't let my drunken idiotness take away from the fact that Sonny's a stand-up guy.
Listen.
How many Polish jokes
are there in the world?
How many what?
How many Polish jokes are there in the world?
I'm not Polish, but go ahead, tell me. Is this a rhetorical question? Am I supposed to ask back for a response? I don't know. You tell me.
You guys are a joke.
I'm for a joke.
Get a chance, man.
Don't stand a chance. But you know what? God loves you.
This guy's got something to offer to maybe, you know, to the world.
He does. He has a lot to offer.
Well, then why
are you
going to
take away from that?
And be professional. Now I understand why you're on a podcast and not on TV.
Okay, well, you want us to be on TV? We'll just try to get on TV, but... Hey, I'm just a neighbor.
The only good thing
about
it...
I can't take away from what Sonny has to offer. I've never once taken away from what Sonny has to offer.
Come on, dude, you can't even talk straight.
I'm
going
to
hang up now. Maybe he could get a word in edgewise.
We've got another caller here. We've got another caller.
Wow. All right. Sorry, Sonny.
All right.
See, that was incredible. Yeah, that's incredible. I'm just a neighbor. I'm an innocent bystander. I'm just trying to catch raccoons and preach Sonny's word because, Sonny, dude, I think you're a commendable guy, and I'm sorry that guy can't see it.
I wasn't always so commendable.
Hello.
I know, but you know, life is what it is.
There's a caller on here.
Hello.
Hello. Hey.
I was wondering if Sonny could read an excerpt from his book. Does he have anything he could read there?
I've got some deleted scenes that are posted at sonnygiordano.com.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, there's scenes that actually didn't they didn't make it into the book. But you can go to sonnygiordano.com and read the deleted stuff.
Okay, you said you're going to
be
in Venice?
Yeah, we're going to be Punk Hostage Press is going to be having an event in Venice on June 29th at Beyond Baroque. You know, and that's quite a well-known little place. So you can always go on the Beyond Baroque Facebook or the Punk Hostage Press Facebook, and you can get the exact details for that kind of stuff. But Punk Hostage will be down there June 29th.
Do you have another short poem?
Yeah, I could probably get one of those out. Yeah. How does that sound, gentlemen?
I think they're eating and drinking, so go ahead and read your poem.
I'm not eating. I'm doing more of the drinking part. I'm trying to catch raccoons there. Once I catch them, we'll be eating. Oh, shit.
All right, so yeah, we, I can do another one, huh?
Yeah, one last thing from you, man. Come on. Yeah.
Go, Sonny, go.
This one will be for all the Bukowski fans out there. You might get something out of this.
It's
called
Bukowski,
The Whole Birdcage in My Heart. There's a whole birdcage in my heart, but all the birds are dead. That's the title of this one. I woke this morning to a little red demon dancing out the zipper of my pants. Gnarled and hunched, he fluttered away, doing the angriest waltz I've ever seen. I investigated the body he left behind. I found all the birds in the cage of my heart had been murdered. The gray parrot was my favorite. He called me by his name. He called love, love, love. His beak was crushed. The demon had killed my 1,500 green sparrows and ripped out the heart of my little white doves. He plucked out every feather from my blue crow. He knew it was the only one. I've seen enough crime dramas. I know the way. I will hunt that bumpy bastard down, even if it takes 40 days. I will catch him and submit and make him pay. He will learn to serve. He will learn to obey. Death is not punishment, but hard-nosed freedom. End poem.
End poem. The way we do it.
See, and I'm just a neighbor, but, man, yeah, just keep getting that word out there, dude. I love it. And this guy's got a book coming out, and I don't know what the caller's name is, but, yeah, look for this guy.
Sonny.
I'm sorry,
I'm late,
but I'm
here
now. I'm looking straight at you. You don't know what the caller's name.
No.
Nah. Sorry,
but
I was
yeah,
late, but
I'm
here now.
I'll
be out on Costa Press in June.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He's got a book coming out in June. Listen to this man's word. He's doing what he's doing. Man, Sonny's a good guy, man. And I'm going to go to L.A.
Late,
and hang out with Sonny. Yeah, I'm going to come to L.A. and hang out with Sonny.
There you go, man.
Like I said, I got three feathers in San Diego. I'm gonna look you up.
Hell yeah. In the meantime, you can read more of my writing at sonny.com.
Sooner than later, Sonny.
Tell me a little better through the website.
Yeah, dude. I mean, everybody should be listening to what you got to say, man.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Oh, I do too wholeheartedly.
Ah, thanks.
And the last caller that was all angry, saying that we're drunk, talking about raccoons, whatever. We can have a good time and still put your message out there. Like, God forbid we talk about a raccoon for a minute. And God forbid we talk about cutting loose and, like, real life shit. But really, does that take away from the fact that you're talented at what you do? No, it doesn't. So therefore, everybody listening, no. It doesn't take away from the fact that you're a talented individual and keep doing what you're doing. Don't let me take away from that.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I mean that wholeheartedly.
Seriously,
dude. I mean,
okay. I know this guy knows it, and he means it. I'm right across the table from him now.
He brought me into his kitchen. It's the first time I've ever been in his house. I've lived in the house 6 years.
Yeah, it's the first time this fucker has ever been in my house.
6 years later. 6 years, not 6 days, not 6 weeks, not 6 months, 6 years later, I'm sitting in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, everybody, do Sonny, because, man, Sonny's...
Sonny has going on.
Right.
Absolutely.
Sure to tell all your friends, man. Direct them to the website.
Right. Absolutely. And to the last caller, hey, to each his own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, so I guess, hey, here we are at the end of the show, you know. Unless we all just want to wrap around, you know, about something generic. But, here we are. You know, Sonny, thank you so much for being on the show and, you know, sharing
thank
your
you guys
work,
for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, you've inspired many. Yeah, you've inspired many, and I guarantee people are going to go out there and do it. They got to listen to what you got to say because, I mean, you've said enough tonight to where people would be ridiculous. Other than the last call, we can keep reiterating that, but I guarantee he doesn't have a cage in his front yard trying to catch raccoons. So what does he know, really? Well, at the end of the day, what does he know? So, yeah, sorry about you, last caller. But I'm just telling you, Sonny, man, keep doing you. God bless you. The raccoon bless you. Whatever you want to bless you, bless you. And keep doing that, man.
Thank you, guys. Right. Thank you for having me on. I just want to, again,
Thanks.
If you guys want any more info, get over to Punk Hostage Press on Facebook or Sonny Giordano at Facebook, and appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, all right. You'll be out in June. Okay, look for the book.
Yeah, I'm sorry I was late, but I'm here now on Punk Hostage Press in June.
Yeah, and you're going to be around for a while, man. Keep doing you. You're not going nowhere.
Hell yeah.
All right, God bless you, brother.
Thank you very much. You guys have a good evening.
You too. You too.
Thank you.
Good night. And God bless. All right. Hey, so, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
He just got off.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Oh, wait.
Hello.
You've got a 219 area code. Hello.
Does he have a guest on?
No, the guest just went away.
Do you know Rochelle McDonald?
I've been to McDonald's once.
No. Rochelle comes on and she owes me $150.
Hey, yeah, the show is about to end here. Here we go. We're going to flush out here.
If you're out there, Rochelle, you owe me a lot of money.
Mallory.